Good evening. It's good to see everyone this evening, and we appreciate your presence, and it's good to be able to come together once again to study from God's Word. This evening, I would like for us to consider the shortest road to hell. In Matthew chapter 7, when Jesus is preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about those who are traveling the broad way to destruction. There is a road that is being traveled by many to eternal destruction, and Jesus calls it the broad way. I want us to consider this evening the matter of the quickest way to hell. And while that might be something that we wouldn't want to think about, that might be something that would not be on the top of our list, because hell is such a negative place, we need to consider that because many are traveling what I believe is the shortest road to hell. And to begin that study, I want us to turn to the book of Hebrews this evening, where the Hebrew writer there talks about neglecting our great salvation. When you consider that beautiful book of Hebrews, you find there that the author is trying to encourage his readers not to fall away from Jesus. If you'll turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13 at the very end of the book, you'll notice there in verse 22 that the writer says, "I beseech you, brethren, suffer or allow this word of exhortation." The book of Hebrews is a word of exhortation. It's a book to encourage readers. Now, that leads to the question, what do they need encouragement on? Well, when you look at places earlier in the book, such as Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12, you find that they are in danger of falling away. And you find in chapter 4 and verse 11 that they are in danger of falling short of that reward that is in front of them, that reward of heaven. They're not traveling toward their rest land. And so in chapter 3 and verse 12, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you of an evil heart in departing or falling away from the living God." They're falling away, and they need encouragement not to do that. In chapter 4 and verse 11, "Lest any man fall after the same example." And then in chapter 12 and verse 25, the Hebrew writer talks about falling short of the grace of God. Well, the author is trying to encourage his readers not to fall away from Jesus. And one argument that he's going to use is that Jesus is better. You don't need to be falling away from Jesus. He's better than all others. He's better than falling back into the world. He's better than leaving him and going back to the Old Testament. He's superior to all others and than all others. And so turn with me to chapter 1 of the book of Hebrews and verse 4. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 4, he has a more excellent name than they. Beginning in the book of Hebrews, all the way through the book, we find the word "better" used several times throughout the book. And the author of the book of Hebrews is trying to encourage his readers to understand that Jesus is better or superior than all others. He has a more excellent name than they. Now, in chapter 1, one of the arguments that the writer uses is that Jesus is better than the angels. He has a more excellent name than they. And these readers, many of them were probably Jewish Christians in background, they would have considered Old Testament angels, they would have valued them. And then in chapter 3, Moses is mentioned, and they would have valued Moses. But Jesus is better than the angels. And notice now with me chapter 2, verse 1. After making this argument that Jesus is better, look at the word "therefore." "Therefore," chapter 2, verse 1, "we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard." The "therefore" is a conclusion. In other words, Jesus is a better messenger. He's better than the angels. He has given us a better revelation than all who have come before. "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed." There is no other revelation than what Jesus is giving. There's not going to be anything more than Jesus. He is the final revelation from God. Chapter 1 and verse 2, "In these last days, He has spoken unto us in His Son. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed." Now, let's read chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." Some versions say, "lest we drift away from them." You stop and think about a boat that is drifting. Maybe it's been tied up to the dock there, and someone comes along and unties the rope. When it drifts away, it just does so slowly. And so what we're talking about here is a slow slipping and drifting away. We're going to leave Jesus just in a slow and slipping way. Verse 2, "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" That is, the great salvation that comes through Jesus Christ, "which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. God also bearing witness with them, both with signs and wonders, with divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will." So look at that question then in chapter 2, verse 1. How shall we neglect so great a salvation? Brethren and friends, this evening, I want you to consider, what is the shortest road to hell? If I want to end my life in that way, well, how's the quickest way to get there? You ever stop to think about that? Well, maybe we're not thinking about that, because as we said earlier, that's a negative thing to think about. But what's the quickest way to end up in hell? What's the shortest road? I believe it's neglect. We just simply neglect what we need to be right with God. You think about someone who's traveling that broad road to hell. Does it take someone to just really work at being bad? I just really have to work at being bad before I'm going to end up in hell. No, the shortest road to hell is not just really working at it. It's actually the opposite, when I just simply neglect it. So I want us to think about that this evening. I want us to think about things that are neglected. In chapter 2 and verse 1, and then again in verse 3, what's the danger here? What is the danger? Just slowly drifting. Simple neglect. Have you noticed that? It's not that these readers were just out trying to fall away. They're not just out trying to be mean. They're not out trying to let's see how many false doctrines. They're just slowly neglecting their salvation. There are some indications of that in the book. For example, in chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, the writer says, "Not to forsake the assembling of yourselves, as is the custom of some." Some have just stopped coming to services. And it's just a slow drifting away. You see the problem, brethren and friends? The shortest road to hell is not really working at it at all. We just sort of let it go, let it slip. We're doing other things in our life. We're taking care of other kinds of things. And so the problem is neglect and just slowly slipping away. That's something that we need to think about. In fact, the devil might gain many that way. He might gain many by just simple neglect and slow drifting away. They're not really working at it. It's just a short way to get to a terrible place. And so I want us to think about that admonition then this evening. So great a salvation. Look at that in verse 3. How great is our salvation? You ever thought about that? Why is it called so great a salvation? They were neglecting the greatest thing that they had. There's a couple of things that come to my mind. First of all, it required the greatest sacrifice, the blood of Jesus Christ. It's offered to the greatest number of people, all mankind. It provides the greatest reward, heaven. There are a number of things that make the great salvation great. And they're just in danger of just slowly letting it go. And that's one of the quickest ways to lose our soul's salvation, neglect. This evening, then, I want to talk about the subject of neglect. In chapter 2, in verse 1, we ought to give the more earnest heed. The idea there is to pay attention. If you don't, it's just going to slip from you. You don't have to work hard to go to hell. That's really the point. You don't have to work hard. All you have to do is just untie the rope, and the boat just slowly drifts away, you see. Slowly slips away. Take heed, number 2. Don't let it drift away from us. Hold on to that. And then the writer in verse 3, how shall we escape? How shall we escape? The writer, I believe, is basing an argument. Look at verse 2. Every word spoken was steadfast. Every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense reward. I believe the writer of Hebrews is basing that on past experience in the Old Testament. Let me ask you this. Is there one act of disobedience that God let just slide in the Old Testament? Well, I'm going to let Cain go. And I'm going to let Nadab and Abihu go.
And Moses, you know, he was supposed to strike the rock, you know, he was supposed to speak to the rock, and he struck it. So I just got to give him a pass on that one. Every transgression and disobedience receive a just recompense of reward. So his point is, based upon God's character and God's nature and unchanging nature towards sin, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? There is no. It's a rhetorical question. It's answered in the negative. There is no escape. So we do not need to neglect. I believe the shortest road to hell is neglect. We get busy doing other things, and we neglect that most important thing in our life. Negligence shows up in a number of areas. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Let's look at this matter of negligence. We find it in different avenues and areas of our life. For example, people neglect their work. They neglect their job. They neglect to make an honest living. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4, we read there about the hand that is slack, or some versions talk about the negligent hand. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand or a negligent hand. But he that diligently works maketh himself rich. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 24. Do you know of anyone who is neglecting their work? They just don't want to show up, and they don't want to keep a job, and they don't want to be able to pay the bills, and I've got other things going on. You see, I'm not talking about a particular hardship or something that comes up out of our control. I'm talking about someone who's just neglectful, irresponsible of that which needs to be done. In Proverbs chapter 24, and we read in verse 30, I went by the field of the slothful or the negligent, by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well, and I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Just a little folding of the hands. Well, you know, not going to get out and work today, not going to get out and do what I need to do. And so we just neglect that. And then we wonder why we're in need. That shows up all over our society and other places. Negligence is just one of the easiest ways to destroy that which is important. And so we find this man, this field, and the vineyards all grown up with nettles and weeds. And I'm just not going to get out there today and pick those weeds, you see. And so the slack hand, and so the Proverbs talk about, go to the ant, thou sluggard, the slack hand, the lazy hand, the negligent hand. I'm just not going to get out and work, you see. Negligence also shows up in this matter of carelessness. I find it interesting. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 21. There's some laws in the law of Moses that I find are kind of interesting, where God, through Moses, wanted the Israelites to be careful about things around their home and their house, and not be negligent. Not being negligent in their own personal property, because you can cause some harm. It's interesting, some of these laws. Look, for example, at one of them in Exodus chapter 21 in verse 36. And if a man shall open a pit, or if a man shall dig a pit, and not cover it, and an ox or an ass fall therein, the owner of the pit shall make it good, and give money unto the owner of them, and the dead beast shall be his. And if one man's ox hurt another man's that he die, then they shall sell the live ox and divide the money of it. In other words, this is restitution for being careless, for being negligent. And when we have some laws on the books today with regard to negligence, and where somebody's not really being careful about what they're doing and they hurt or harm others, even to the point of death. Turn over to Exodus, chapter 22 and verse 6. If a fire break out and catch thorns, so that the stacks of corn or the standing corn or the field be consumed therewith, he that kindleth the fire shall surely make restitution. I just let it get out of hand. I wasn't watching it. I wasn't careful. And so it gets out and burns my neighbor's field, you see. Well, I'm going to have to pay restitution for that. I need to keep a better eye on that fire, you see. I remember one time making a fire out of the house, and it got out of hand. And I will be honest with you, I was sweating that a little bit. I was concerned that we're going to have to call that little old Cedar Hill Adams Fire Department, and I'm going to be stuck with a big bill. I just wasn't paying attention to the wind and how dry it was and some other things going on, and I thought, uh-oh, I'm in big trouble.
And so if we're not careful, if we don't think ahead, if we don't plan ahead, then these laws are saying we are held responsible. So we can't be negligent in these areas. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 22, one more example. God wants us to be careful, in other words, in all areas of our life. Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 8. When thou buildest a new house, then thou shalt make a battlement for thy roof. The older versions use battlement, a protective border, in other words. That thou bring not blood upon thine house if any man fall from thence. There has to be that which you've got to be careful about someone falling over the edge and make care for that, make protection for that. Negligence shows up in those areas. It also shows up in the family. I think about Eli in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 13. I'm living my life and I'm carrying on my ways, but the scripture says there that he would not restrain his sons. He might have all kinds of excuses for that, but he didn't hold Hophni and Phinehas accountable. He wouldn't watch over them. He wouldn't tell them no, you see. He wouldn't discipline them. He wouldn't restrain them. And I'm sure Eli had his excuses. And fathers, listen, we need to be those who are going to help our children be guided in the right way and train them up in the right way. Eli might have said, well, I'm busy with work. Or Eli might have said, well, I've got hobbies. And he might have had a number of excuses. He might have said, well, I can't do anything with them. Or whatever the case might be. But the scripture held him accountable. God held him accountable for not restraining his children. He was negligent in that matter. We should appreciate our fathers and mothers who say no to us and who are trying to guide us in the right way. And I remember when I was young, there were things that my mother and father told me, and I didn't appreciate that at the time. And, well, they're just preaching to me again. But we need mothers and fathers to nurture us and guide us in the right way. And sometimes that means restraining us and saying no, you see, and giving us good wisdom and giving us good values. But Eli wouldn't do that. And he's held accountable by God for that. I'm also mindful of negligence in the matter, not just of parental discipline, but turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. There's a word used only twice in Scripture. It's found here and in Romans chapter 1. The word is astorgos, the Greek word astorgos, without natural affection or without natural love for family members. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 3. You know there are parents that will neglect their children to the point of death. There are parents that will neglect other family members. And this astorgos was used in the first century. It's translated without natural affection. But literally the Greek word means the love that is to exist within a family or kindred, Vine says. The love between kindred. In other words, the love between parents and children. The love between family members, brothers and sisters. And people can get to the point where they no longer have that. It's used only one other time in Romans chapter 1. There are parents today that neglect their children. They won't feed them. They won't clothe them. They won't care for them. They're off living their selfish ways and doing their selfish things. Negligence shows up in a number of important areas of our life. And it's just simply because we want to do what we want to do. We're having a good time. We're living it up, you see. And so I don't have to go out and work. Yeah, my field's growing up with weeds, but I'll let somebody else worry about that, you see. And if I go dig a pit or start a fire or my ox gets out, who cares? Somebody else will take care of that. You see, that's sort of the mentality of much of the world. And people are neglecting those important things. And certainly we see that in the family. We see all kinds of abuse in the family. We see all kinds of neglect in the family. We see where the court has to take adults and hold them accountable for neglecting their children in other kinds of ways. What a shame that we should even have to do that. There needs to be that close love between kindred that we would never do that to one of our own. And yet we find that happening in our society. Negligence also shows up in the Lord's work. The priests in 2 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 11 are told to be diligent and not neglect their work. In Jeremiah chapter 48 and verse 10, turn with me there. Jeremiah chapter 48 and verse 10. Cursed is the one who does the Lord's work with a negligent hand. We need to be busy in the Lord's work, and sometimes it gets neglected. Well, I'm off doing my other affairs and so forth. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord negligently. Well, I've got to go to the store, and I've got this ball game and that ball game, and I've got to go do this and I've got to go do that. And we need times of rest and relaxation, but we need to be putting the Lord's work first. We need to be trying to share the gospel with others. Set up a Bible study. There's things around the building that can be done. There's things elsewhere that can be done. We need to be asking, what can I do for the Lord? Cursed be he that does the work of the Lord negligently. And so it's very important. Turn over to Haggai chapter 1 and verse 4. Do you remember when the Jews came back from the Babylonian captivity and they're told there to rebuild the temple? We find that in the days of Haggai and Zechariah, they actually got off to a good start. They had laid the foundation of the temple, but then they had gotten back to their own affairs and they had left it lay there for about 4 years. And in Haggai chapter 1, turn with me to Haggai chapter 1. What's the problem? In Haggai chapter 1, in verse 4, is it time for you, O you, to dwell in your sealed houses? That's the plastered house where they just didn't throw it up when they came back from the captivity. They took time to paint it and seal it, really put a lot of time and money into it. But look at it. While this house lieth waste. They were off doing their own things, and that was more important. Look at verse 7. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain, bring the wood, build the house, and I will take pleasure in it. In other words, get back on track with what is important. Yes, the Lord wants us to have a place to live, of course. But the Lord's work comes first. Put your brethren first. Put the needs of your brethren first. Visiting someone, taking care of someone, doing what you can for others. The Lord's work, whether it be evangelism, edification, or benevolence. Let's not have that negligent hand in the Lord's work. And so they had to be stirred up. They had to be shaken up. They were busy doing their own affairs. And so it's important. It shows up. And we've got to be careful about that. We have a gospel meeting coming up with Brother Steve Months. We need to be here. We need to support gospel meetings. We need to make sure our Bible class lessons are done. The Lord's work comes first. Supporting the Lord's work here. Supporting the Lord's work elsewhere. Praying for the Lord's work. Supporting it. Encouraging it. Joining hands in doing whatever we can. Let's not be negligent in that matter. Negligence, I believe, shows up in these areas of our life. It also shows up in our priorities. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23. We can be religious and yet get out of whack with our priorities and neglect those things that are important. I'm mindful of the Jews in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23. They were very religious. They were at the temple all the time and they were reading from Moses all the time. And they would tithe these little herbs, the mint, the anise, and the cumin. They would count out 10. They would tithe that. But Jesus says, you've left undone the weightier matters of the law. Judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done and not left the other undone. They're just negligent of those important things. Now we're going to count out our seeds. And they needed to tithe. And God wanted them to tithe those things. But they had neglected faith and mercy and justice, you see. We can get our priorities out of whack. All that God wants us to do is important. And we can't go through the Word of God and picking and choosing and selecting things that we're going to be specializing in. We must do all of what God wants us to do. Negligence shows up also in one's salvation. And really, from this point onward, we're going to focus on the matter of neglecting so great a salvation. But turn with me to Luke chapter 12. I think about the rich farmer in Luke chapter 12 who was spending his time building bigger barns, and his focus was on the physical things of life. His focus was on the material things of this life, and yet we find that he had not been making provision for his soul's salvation. Luke chapter 12 verse 20, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Those things, who shall they be which thou providest? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Let me ask you this evening, are you taking care of your soul's salvation, or are you neglecting that? Well, I'm taking care of my car, and I'm taking care of my job, and I'm taking care of my money, and I'm taking care of this and my clothes, and I've got that on track, and I've got this on track. What about what's inside of you? Your soul, that which is going to face God in the judgment day. This man was taking care of all kinds of things except the most important thing. And it goes back, this story started in verse 13 and 14, with Jesus saying, beware of covetousness. And so the context is, beware of an attitude that is focusing on the material and on the physical and being greedy after that and not taking care of our soul's salvation. In the same book, turn with me to Luke chapter 16, the rich man and Lazarus. In Luke chapter 16, this rich man, we're told, fared sumptuously every day. In Luke chapter 16, beginning in verse 19, clothed in purple, fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. He was clearly taking care of the physical side of his life. But when he died, he went to torment, you see. He hadn't taken care of his soul. Many people neglect that. And we need to work. We talked this morning about working and working hard and a good work ethic. We need to be clothed. We need to work and those types of things. But that is not the most important thing in life. That is secondary. Our soul salvation is what is important. But not only the rich man, but look at his family. Come down to verse 28. I have five brethren that he may... You know, send Lazarus that he may come back and that he might testify to them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, now you underscore this, if they hear not Moses, think of that in the context of neglecting. I don't need to hear the word of God. If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rise from the dead. Sometimes there are those who take the approach, I don't need to go down there and hear the Bible. I don't need to study the Bible. I don't need to listen to that. We're neglecting the very thing that saves us. James 1, 18, 19, and 20. Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. I'm wondering if this rich man knew that his father... that his five brethren wouldn't listen to Moses and the prophets. I wonder if he knew something about them, that they didn't want to hear that Bible preaching, you see. But that's all that God gives us to be saved, not sending someone back from the dead. Are we neglecting those very things? And so, notice in Luke chapter 16 and verse 25, Abraham said, son, remember thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. This rich man was taking care of the physical side and he was faring sumptuously and had nice clothing and all kinds of money, but now he's in torment, you see, because he neglected his soul's salvation. I believe the shortest road to hell is neglect. Yes, we can end up there by living wicked and sinful and evil lives and just really being evil. But you know what? You can also end up there by just not taking care of what you need to take care of. And so the warning in Hebrews is not to neglect so great a salvation. Turn with me now to Matthew chapter 22. I ask Eric if you would read Matthew 22, because the same word for neglect that's found in Hebrews is used in Matthew chapter 22. The Greek word amaleo, translated made light of, is the same Greek word used in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, neglect so great a salvation. It means not to care, just not to have a care for that which is important. And notice in the parable in Matthew chapter 22, it's the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man who had made this marriage feast. And the marriage feast here is representative of the spiritual blessings that we can have in the church, and the Lord is inviting us to that. It's like a marriage feast. But we find that when the Lord sent out His servants inviting, that when that invitation was made, we find in verse 5, but they made light of it and went on their way, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. The Scriptures goes on to say that they are not invited again, they're not allowed to come, and they just simply made light of it. They simply neglected the invitation to come in. They did not care. They did not have any serious concern for that invitation. Listen, how many invitations have you heard, but you have not responded to? Is that not making light of it? We don't have to actively denounce the invitation or actively be opposed to it. We just simply have to say, well, I'm going to go home and go do something else. Verse 7, when the king heard thereof, he was wroth and sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Just simply making light of and saying, well, I don't really care about that, is a serious offense with God. But come on down in Matthew chapter 22, come on down to verse 12. Even the man who did come and he did accept the invitation, he neglected to put on the wedding garment. And in the scriptures, putting on that which is important in the scripture is putting on Christ in baptism. We have to clothe ourselves with Christ. But this man, he accepted the invitation. He didn't make light of it. But once he got there, he neglected to put on the wedding garment. And he is cast forth. And so there are those who neglect their soul's salvation. I wonder what some people do today with regard to that phrase in verse 5. You ever thought about that? How does a person make light of the gospel invitation? Well, the Bible's not really the Word of God. That might be one way. Or there is no God. Or judgment's not going to happen to me. Or it's not that important. Or hell's not that hot. Whatever the case might be, people make light of that. It literally means not to care, not to worry about it, not to make it a big deal. And so invitation comes and invitation goes, and we just simply don't respond. The shortest road to hell is what we're traveling in that case. We don't have to be actively out causing a problem. We don't have to be actively out being the worst person in the world. We just simply make light of it. We just simply neglect it. And we're traveling that shortest road to eternal damnation. We need to think about that, friends. Think about the five foolish virgins. They neglected to take oil. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13, there are five wise virgins who had prepared. The five foolish virgins neglected to take extra oil, and so they're shut out when the Lord comes, when the master of the house comes, and when that marriage feast is ready, and that bride comes. The door is shut, we're told. The door is shut, and they cannot go in. You see, some people are just simply neglecting to prepare their soul. They're just not going to be ready. Afterward, they said, verse 11, Lord, open to us. But he said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know not the day nor the hour. They just simply neglected to take extra oil. Turn to Matthew chapter 25 and consider the slothful servant. He neglected to do something with his talent. I think about this matter of the talents that the Lord gives us, and we neglect them. I have a talent as a man to serve in the local church. I have a talent as a woman to serve in the local church, but I just don't have time to do that. We're neglecting our talents, so he went out and buried it. I think about the wicked in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. They neglected the needy. Have you ever thought about that? In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, I was hungered and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. Well, I'm just going to pass by and not worry about these folks. You see, it's easy to neglect. Jesus said that's the very thing that will judge them in the last day. They weren't taking care of the needy and those that were imprisoned and those that were hungry and those that were sick. You visited me not, you see. Well, I've got something else I've got to do. I've got to go watch TV, or I've got to go to the mall, or I've got to go do this. We neglect those things that are important to God, and we're going to be held accountable. I wonder why many neglect their salvation. Is it because it's not that great? They underestimate its worth? Is that it? Well, it's not that important. Is it because they have no regard for their soul, their body's what's important, so clothes and money and food and things of this? We've got a soul inside of us, friend. Jesus said, what does it profit if a man gains the whole world and loses his soul? Is it because they have a strong love for the world that salvation is not that important? Or is it because they believe they have plenty of time? You know, those folks in Matthew 22 probably thought, well, I'll just catch it the next go around. The king's going to send out some more servants, and he'll invite me again to the feast. No, verse 7 said that they were struck dead. Maybe we think we just got all the time in the world. And when we're young, we probably think that way. I can say for a fact that the older I get, the less I think that way. When we're young, we think, well, we've got all the time in the world, you see. So we just neglect what is important. I believe many are traveling that short road of neglect. One of the quickest ways to enter into hell. So let's close this evening with some matters concerning our soul's salvation. First of all, and we need to be thinking as Christians, remember the original context. Remember Hebrews chapter 2. It's written to Christians. We're going to make some applications this evening to those who need to respond to the gospel. But remember Hebrews 2 is written to Christians who are neglecting so great a salvation. So it applies to us as well. First of all, some neglect to secure their salvation. That is, they don't obey the gospel. In Acts chapter 24 and verse 25, I think about Felix there. The gospel was preached to him, and he said, "Go thy way, for when I have a convenient season, I will call thee." He just neglected a great opportunity. I'm not going to secure it on this occasion. I'm not going to make it mine on this occasion. I'm just going to, maybe I'll get another time. Some neglect to strengthen their salvation. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, the Word of God, Paul said, "I commend you to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up." We're not reading our Bibles. We're not studying our Bibles and building ourselves up. And so we neglect to strengthen ourselves. And if we're not strong, then the opposite. We're weak. And then the devil gets us in those moments of weakness. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, we're to provoke and stir up one another to love and good works. That strengthens us, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. Some neglect assembling. There have been members of the church that I'll just miss on Sunday night. And then, I'll miss a Sunday night and a Wednesday night. And then, it's okay if I miss Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And I probably won't go to the gospel meeting. And then we wonder why they become weak. And in time, sometimes they just never darken the doors again. They're neglecting those things that strengthen them. Prayer and Bible study and being here with godly brethren. And when they're not strengthened, they're weakened. And when they're weakened, the devil gets a hold of them. Some neglect to support their salvation. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, the church is described as the pillar and the ground of the truth. The pillar there, the support. We need to support truth. We need to support it monetarily, but we need to support it with our words and our deeds and our actions. We need to say, "I'm going to stand for truth in my personal lives." And when somebody else is trying to stand for truth, I'm going to back them up. Some neglect to do that, and so error creeps in to their lives. It creeps into the local congregation. It creeps into the pulpit and other places because we're not going to stand for truth. Proverbs 23:23, "Buy the truth and sell it not." Some neglect to, I call, surpass. That means to grow and increase. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. "Neglect not the gift that is in you." Brethren, you know that all of us have something that God gives us that we are good at in the local church. There's something that all of us have that God gives us that we are good at. But you know what? If you neglect it, it'll be taken away from you. We need to surpass. We need to grow that. We need to excel that. We need to increase that. And so Paul tells young Timothy, "Neglect not the gift that is in you." Now, in New Testament times, some of those gifts were miraculous gifts. I'm using the word in the sense of more like Romans 12, the idea of a talent or that which we have that we can use that may be non-miraculous. We don't need to neglect that. It might be preaching. It might be teaching. It might be encouragement. It might be ministry. It might be benevolence. It might be building someone up. It might be standing for truth. Whatever our gift is, don't neglect that. Grow it, excel it, increase it. Some neglect to show their salvation. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. We need to be out caring for others. We need to be out showing that we are a Christian. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware." Talking about showing your benevolence and your care for others. Remember them that are in bonds, that is, in imprisonment. Being yourselves also in the body. Remember them. Do things for them. Look at verse 16. "But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." We've got to get out and show our salvation. We're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. We're to get out and take care of others. In chapter 13 and verse 2, one version says, neglect not to entertain strangers. Forget not or neglect not. Don't let that be something that you let go. Some neglect to share their salvation. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, the apostles were told to go into all the world and preach the gospel, also in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. The very thing that folks need, we hold in our hands this evening, but we neglect to share it. We might do that because of embarrassment. We might do that because of fear. We might be bothered by what some people might say. We might fear rejection. We don't want to hear no. We don't want to hear someone say no to a Bible study or no to, do you want to come to the gospel meeting? But we can't be bothered by that, brethren and friends. We have to share that which is great. Are you traveling the shortest road to hell? I believe if you're neglecting what's important to you, I believe you are, as I believe that would be the case with me. We don't have to be out actively engaged in all kinds of gross immorality. We can simply, slowly slip and drift and neglect and lose our soul's salvation. I believe it's one of the easiest and shortest and quickest ways to get to that place where the devil and his angels will dwell for all eternity. And because of that, I wanted to encourage us along those lines. Don't neglect your soul's salvation. Don't neglect those things that we've just talked about. Don't neglect to share your salvation with others and show it. Don't neglect to strengthen it. It's easy to do because we get our mind on other things. We get our lives on other things. We get consumed and we're busy here and there. And you look at that Matthew chapter 22 and verse 5. It says that they made light of it. And then they went to their own place. They went home and they went to their own affairs. And they've got things they want to do. Do you remember the other parable that talks about the great wedding feast and the invitation that was given? And the scripture says, and they began with one excuse, to make excuse. Well, I bought some oxen and I've got to go use them. And I've gotten married, you see, and I bought a field. And we just get busy with other things of this life, don't we? And we neglect what is most important. The encouragement this evening is to respond to the gospel. If you need to come, as we stand and sing, don't neglect. The water's ready. The garments are ready. Don't put off what is most important, the thing that you need to do this very evening. And as a child of God, keep in mind that the devil wants us just to unloose that rope and let the boat just slowly slip away. So you keep being strong and you keep being committed to the Lord and don't neglect. And if there's an area that you see in your life that is being neglected, shore that up and take care of that. We can all take a personal inventory. We can see, just like that man who looks out on the field and he sees the weeds growing up and the vines and the nettles. We might see some area of neglect and those weeds are creeping in. Get out there and pull those weeds. I don't know how many times I heard that as a young boy. Son, get out there and pull those weeds. There may be some area of our life that we need, where there's been some neglect. And we need to secure that. And we want to encourage you. Why won't you come as we stand and sing if you're subject to the invitation in any way?